Good morning. Welcome to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton, back to open up with you about the latest on the dance scene and the heart of what moves us. Thank you for tuning in to share time and rhythm with us. Welcome to this dance space. Well, friends, as we groove into the space today, I want to wish you a warm season's greetings wherever you are tuning in from. I am so glad that you're here today, and I'm looking forward to spending time again as we open up about stories that live both on and beyond the stage. Well, my guests today have been known to say the following: always forward, forward always. Coming up on the show, choreographers Brooke and Tiffany Engen are here and will be with us for the full hour. So stay tuned. We're going to take a break and be right back with both guests right after this. Welcome back to Turnout Radio. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. Known for their comedic, high-energy style, Brooke and Tiffany Engen have worked across theater, TV, music, videos, and major live events. Their credits include Love Actually, the musical parody, Mama, I'm a Big Girl Now, Megan, commercials for Barefoot Wine, Laura Bell Bundy's music videos, and TV hits like Heart of Dixie, Marvel's Runaways, and NBC's Emmy-winning Hairspray Live. Please join me in welcoming to the show Brooke and Tiffany Engen.
Hey there.
Hello.
Well, welcome to both of you. What a thrill to have you both on the show with me today.
We're so excited.
Brooke, how is today greeting you as you come into the Turnout Radio space?
Today is great. We're winding up towards the holidays here in New York City, but it's been lovely to be back, but I'm definitely missing Toronto. We had a wonderful time there. We love it. Every time we're in Toronto, we have just such a wonderful time. We meet so many amazing people. It's always hard to leave.
Oh, well, I can't wait to have you both back here to return. And Tiffany, how is today greeting you?
Today is wonderful. Yeah, it really just feels like the holiday season is upon us, and we are excited that Hallmark-ish is going strong and giving energy and cheer and joy to audiences, not to mention tons of laughs. So We're excited that Toronto audiences are getting to experience this as they ramp up to the holidays. And I'm looking forward to the holiday season with friends and family as well.
Indeed, indeed. And you mentioned Hallmark-ish. I'm looking very much forward to delving into talking about the unauthorized Hallmark-ish parody musical, yes, which you both choreographed. We're going to be doing so a little bit later on in the show. So, folks, please stay tuned as we explore the musical. Now, I want to take a step back, if I may, and take a look at something that I mentioned at the top of the interview. The both of you have been known to say, always forward, forward always. Brooke, why do those words resonate with you personally?
I just think that it's something that we have said to each other. I think it comes into play individually, you know, personally and professionally, that it's just always ideal to just keep moving forward. When you're creating something, you're thinking story forward, just to keep moving in that direction. You know, there's this industry and this business will take you on a lot of different journeys and through different lanes, but it's important, I think, to kind of follow your own like North Star and just keep moving forward. And, you know, targets may change, but we've found that if we just kind of keep moving forward, like some wonderful things have come our way.
And Tiffany, why do they resonate with you?
I think because momentum is really key, and keeping the energy and the vibes in play when you're in creation mode or collaboration mode or even pre-production, when you're just starting the brainstorming ideas, that like not to get stuck in the minutiae and not to get stuck in problem solving too early in the process. If you keep that energy moving forward, if you keep that momentum moving forward, things will really reveal themselves. The piece reveals itself, the characters reveal themselves, and it kind of inevitably will come together in this harmonious way. If you don't take a pit stop at every single thing that gives you pause.
You both are touching on momentum and the revealing. How do you hold space for moving forward at times when it may not be easy to do so? What are your thoughts, Brooke?
I think for me, every day is totally different. You have to meet yourself where you are each day. So sometimes moving forward feels on a micro level, just little tiny crumbs moving forward. And then sometimes for me, I have to think on the macro level, like what is the big picture here? What is the big dream? What is the big goal? And therefore that will reveal to me what my next step probably should be. But every day is extremely different in what I feel like I'm capable of accomplishing, what I have the bandwidth for. So I just try to kind of like meet myself on the daily where I am. But little or big steps still amount to moving forward.
Oh, yes, absolutely. The meeting yourself where you are, I think, allows for the opportunity to honor the space that you're in. Mm-hmm. So, Tiffany, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think if you just quite literally put one foot in front of the other, like soon it really does get done. And whether that's things in your personal life you want to achieve, certainly things in our individual careers have felt that way, that like sometimes you can really make a quantum leap, but then there are other times that really is just putting one foot in front of the other and either going to this audition or pursuing work with creative collaborators that inspire you, that light you up inside. I think following those points of inspiration, if you just put one foot in front of the other and really understand that there are so many things about this business, about this world that we cannot control, but your energy and what you bring, how you change the energy of a room is 100% within your control, you're shaking up the molecules.
That's good. That's good. So what lights you up then, Tiffany? How do you hold space for you in those moments off stage?
I certainly think that when we get the opportunity to work together, I feel because we can speak shorthand with each other, but also she's very inspiring to me. And it's always a good time. There's always a ton of laughs whenever we're creating together, you know. So I think the pursuit of comedy character storytelling is something that will always light me up. And, you know, that's what's so great about a lot of the parody musicals that we've done. When you're around funny people who are automatically in the world of yes and, meaning, yes, I'm down to get in the sandbox. Let's play. Let's figure this out. That creative play space is inspiring. It's energizing. And it's a place that you want to spend your time.
As sisters who work together, can you talk about your collaborative creative relationship?
Yeah, when I really think about it, we've been creating ever since we were little. It's, you know, from the time you're playing with your friends and siblings and you're making up a dance. You make up one count of eight, I'll make up another count of eight. Whenever we're creating something together, we really start with obviously story forward, characters and comedy. And honestly, we try to just make each other laugh most of the time. And that usually is the recipe for success of things that we kind of latch onto that we think are fun or engaging. And also just make you feel good when you're doing it. You know, dance and creating like should feel good in the body. It should light you up. That's why we do what we do. So we're constantly, you know, incorporating all of those elements when we're creating together.
Within the ethos of your collaborative relationship, are there particular practices or ways of being that you both bring into the space?
Yeah, I think sometimes the hardest part of any creation is just getting started. That is the hardest part of all. You can be very much in your head about it and thinking about it for days and days and days and be like, I don't have anything to show for all of my thoughts yet. I have to put something out in the ether. So we try to always remind ourselves too, let's just start. It's the first draft. So you lose any of that preconceived, this has to be perfect. It's got to be production value out the gate. We're just going for a first draft of what we want to create. And that usually helps. And that starts and reignites that sense of play, which is what you're supposed to be doing in the first place. We're just playing around and finding what might work for this.
Well, in that space, Tiffany, can you talk about those essential practices, those individual practices that both of you pour into the collaborative space?
Sometimes I think what I bring early on is at least a game plan. And oftentimes that game plan is let's skip the opening number. Because the opening number is really the jumping off point. And opening numbers are hard. I mean, you know, every Broadway show, they, you know, talk about how difficult it is to really lock in on that opening number. So oftentimes I'll say, you know what, I really see something for the finale, or I'm really feeling something with this demo that we got for the end of act one. So whatever, we don't have to work chronologically a lot because there are no rules. So like, I think I come with a game plan, but then also in the same breath, the idea that there are no rules. There's no one way to do this. There's no right way to do this. It's just to follow where the energy's going. But oftentimes I say, let's skip the opening number.
And you, Brooke?
Well, you're very visual.
Yeah, I am very, very visual. I have an idea of what I want it to look like, but I wouldn't say I come at it from these are the steps or, you know, it's way more big picture. And so then Tiffany is really great at kind of like, all right, if this is the big picture, then 1, 2, 3, 4, making the game plan of like, then this has to be introduced at this point. Then we need to see this. So she's very strategic. So then together, that is what really kind of formulates a lot of our, you know, creative ventures together.
Oh, well, Brooke always has great visual instincts. She thinks of creative props, creative scenic set elements that can really elevate a piece of choreography or help to illustrate a lyric. And so when she kind of speaks in visual terms, then that sort of allows me, once I have a few guidelines, to come up with some steps that would fit in that world. So, and sometimes that flips. Sometimes she's really the steps person. And I've got this idea for a costume reveal or a really cool hand prop that we've never choreographed with before that would look great in a proscenium stage setting, you know? So it goes back and forth, but together it kind of harmoniously all gets done.
The harmony. Yes. I love that. So then off stage, where do you both find yourself? In fact, what does life for Brooke and Tiffany look like off stage?
Off stage, when we're, you know, when we're not working on a project or we're not in a project or auditioning for a project, it's really just, you know, I'm very much a routine person. I do love structure. So it's just, you know, I try to keep my days as routine as possible, taking care of myself and dancing and training, and then leaving time to do something that's creative. So whether that be a writing idea or even coming up with a couple eights that I will be teaching later or something, I try to leave a little space in the middle of my day to create something. Sometimes it's small and not great, and sometimes it's big and awesome, and it's something I hold on to that I hopefully will be able to utilize when an opportunity arrives.
And you, Tiffany?
Yeah, I think I'm kind of the same in sense that I like structure, I like routine. Both of us do a lot of teaching and a lot of coaching too. So the musical theater world in New York, this is a really busy season. Once we hit January, it will be a really, really busy season usually as theaters are trying to fill their seasons. So it's always inspiring to work with artists that are just starting their musical theater journey. And likewise, we've gotten to work with some of our heroes and idols, but there are many more that we still want to work with, and we want to be ready when the opportunity comes about. So constantly training, maintaining physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritual health, all the above is part of the long game.
Stay with us. More of Turnout Radio coming up after this. Comedic play has occupied a role in the work that you both create. How did the themes of humor emerge in your choreographic process, Brooke?
We were both very much total hams growing up, always trying to make our parents laugh and just doing kooky things. But one of my first choreographic jobs was on a TV show called Heart of Dixie, which was on the CW. It was in Los Angeles. And I was out there and I got called to do, there was going to be a number where an actress was going to jump out of a cake and do a big like happy birthday fun dance. And the show is, you know, a comedy. And they weren't like, this has to be super funny by any means. But the fact that somebody would be jumping out of a cake isn't a normal occurrence. Yes. And wants to dance around for a birthday celebration. So that's actually how it all really began for me. That was my first professional choreographic job, a very big one at that. And it was a lot of playing around with what are the options of what is it like to come out of a cake when you've never practiced it before and it's impromptu and should feel improvised, but is highly choreographed for camera purposes. But yeah, so that's how it all really started. And it was just what's funny, what works. And it's about having your fellow, you know, castmates around. What did they laugh at? What did they respond to? What does the actress feel good doing? What makes her feel confident? And, you know, just being silly and fun. So that was kind of like the spark of it all. And then from there, other, you know, comedies have kind of come into our life. And it's just kind of gone forward from there. And it is like doing comedy choreo is one of my favorite things, because you can use comedy not only in the sense of what's right for the show and what's right for the story and what's right for the character, but also from a musical theater perspective, you can do some parody style choreographic tones, like i.e. chorus line, Cats. There are certain iconic movements that we as consumers and audience members tap into, and we know what we're going for when we see that. So you're getting to play both worlds.
So it sounds like there was a lot of comedic play that was being explored, specifically in natural spaces where you were looking at the response of other humans around you.
Mm-hmm.
Is it fair to say that that's supported in the development of further curiosities surrounding humor?
Yep. I think it's always great to be an observer. And, you know, comedy is subjective. Some people think some things are funny. Some people don't think other things are funny. But it is very much observing how we move about in this world and how we get through certain things lends itself to comedy big time.
Excellent. And Tiffany, further to Brooke's shares, can you talk about some of those foundational curiosities about comedic play?
I think, yeah, we were always watching Saturday Night Live as a family. So those sketches from very early on, they incorporated dance quite a lot. And so you can see how dance really elevates a comedic sketch. And then I think because we both obviously like to make each other laugh, we have a good sense of humor, we're attracted to other collaborators that have a sense of humor, not only about themselves, but about the art form in general, that, you know, we've both gotten the experience to be on Broadway, be dance captains, maintain other choreographers' visions over a long period of time. And when new people are joining the show, we are responsible for teaching them the choreography and helping them to learn their track. And oftentimes humor is such a great gateway to kind of weed through any nervousness. And it also is a great vehicle for someone who might not consider themselves a dancer first to kind of lower that guard and be like, this is fun. And we want you to feel great. We want you to feel empowered. And we're going to have a good time in these rehearsals because you get the best performance out of people when they feel confident and free.
I love that you mentioned gateway. And I'd like to delve into that further when it comes to the relationship between storytelling and comedic play.
Mm-hmm.
Can you both talk about what are some of the things that you consider when you're creating?
You're definitely considering who you're creating on. You're putting choreography together that serves the story, but also, as Tiffany was saying, makes the performer look good, makes them feel good. Because when someone is out of their comfort zone, not only do you see it, but you feel it. And live theater is a felt experience, but you have to be willing to kind of ebb and flow and make a change of course if something isn't going the way that you had initially thought. But more often than not, when something doesn't go the way that I pre-plan, it's even better. You know what I mean? Like, best idea always lands at the end of the day. It really does. But you can only get there when everybody has, you know, a level of trust and camaraderie and laughter and play. And you just kind of like set the tone right out the gate when you're starting creating things like that. And just knowing that you can change your mind at any point.
Yes, yes. And that element of trust is key. I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because I often think that when that element of trust exists within the space, oftentimes in my experience, there has been a greater openness to explore.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah, it's really like the foundation of everything. You need it, obviously, when you're partnering, you need to trust someone. You need to be able to know that they've got you and vice versa. When you're being silly, it's also really vulnerable to be silly in front of someone. So you have to have a level of trust, let alone if you're doing, you know, like an intimacy coordinator and things like that. There has to be a level of trust that's created in the space. And then everybody can move forward from a loving place, and it's always for the benefit of the production.
Indeed. And Tiffany, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think when people feel, when they're enjoying what they're doing and they're enjoying who they're doing it with, that also is something that we want to always make sure that we cultivate early on in the rehearsal process so that it can continue after we leave. I mean, the greatest pleasure is knowing that somebody is enjoying doing what you've created together and they're having fun doing the show even after opening night, after the creatives have left and the show runs and the show becomes, it's theirs now. that they enjoy doing the show, the steps, the jokes, the transitions that you've created. We want it to be collaborative. We want everyone to contribute ideas and move how they want to move, not have us just putting stuff on people to try on. You know what I mean? Because sometimes that cardigan just doesn't fit, you know? So it's like, feel free to offer up your ideas, and because you were hired for a reason.
In that space, when we consider animating the choreography and bringing the choreography to life so that it reaches out into the audience and creates a sense of conversation, what are some of the things that both of you consider when building dialogue with the audience?
One thing that I always try to tap into is something that I learned very early on from the amazing Jerry Mitchell. He always talks about how he wants audiences to feel. And so sometimes I want to always think of, how do I want them to feel at the start of the show? How do I want them to feel welcomed into this? How do we set the tone for what we're about to explore for the next however long your show is? And especially when it comes to like finales and show closers, it's how do you want them to feel? How do you want to send them off? Do you want them dancing in the aisles? Do you want them to be like, I wish I was a part of this? Are you inspiring young performers in the audience? So I always try to think of feelings first that I want to try to get across.
As it pertains to like comedy choreo, I think the sooner into a piece that we might feel inspired to incorporate either like what Brooke touched on a little earlier, like a Fosse element or something, so that even there's a recognition from the audience of, it's okay to laugh. We're going to throw these things in there where they might not totally fit, just so that the audience has a buy-in early on before they've even heard a joke of, we're here to have some fun.
We're behind the mic this morning with Brooke and Tiffany, and we have more coming up after this. You're listening to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. Brooke and Tiffany, the unauthorized Hallmarkish parody musical is a world premiere which invites audiences to laugh and sing and celebrate the season together. And so, Brooke, tell us about the show, which is currently running in Toronto.
Yes, the show is currently at the Royal Theatre. It is a world premiere, which is very exciting. If you love Hallmark movies like I do, and Tiffany, you will love this show. It is a love letter to Hallmark movies. It is a love letter to the holidays, and it is also a love letter to musical theater lovers. So in the show, we take a premise that is very common in a Hallmark movie. A small town girl moves to a big city, is highly successful, has to go home for the holidays to help her mom with her various businesses, sees her high school sweetheart. Do they not fall in love again? You'll have to come and find out. Does she give up her career for love, or does she pick love over career? You'll have to come and find out. But it is such a festive and fun love of Hallmark and musical theater merged together. It was so much fun putting the show together in Toronto with an incredible cast of Canadian actors, and audiences are loving it. We hope more and more people want to come and see it before the holidays are through.
Well, it's been lovely to utilize years of watching Hallmark movies and put it to some good use. So we had a lot of great source material to pull from. But yes, I mean, Tim Drucker, our director, is absolutely incredible. The story was written by him and Bonnie Milligan. The music by Joel Wagner is hilarious. It is some of the funniest music I have ever heard. It's incredible music, incredibly sung by these performers. But lyrically speaking, I mean, jokes per minute, it's really unlike anything you've ever experienced before. And so to work with this incredible creative team, with these great Canadian actors, and again, doing a world premiere of something that has never existed before, you know, has been a really enjoyable undertaking. And I think it's been kind of a celebration of this new medium, that these parody musicals really are a wonderful way to invite new audiences to experience musical theater.
What have you discovered in that space when you think about the new audiences?
I think mostly the fact that the common denominator is fun, the common denominator is joy, and the common denominator is laughs, is a great way to already set you up for success, that the vibe is already in the air, the energy is already in the air. So it loses any sort of stiffness when audiences come and see a brand new production like this.
I also think, you know, just holiday movies in general lend themselves to being highly theatrical and musical in and of itself. So it's like it's taking a Hallmark movie, but it just dials it up and it dials it in for like dialing it up theatrically to very much a high production value musical theater experience. And so there's a lot for everyone in the audience to pull from. We see a lot of families, we see a lot of, you know, besties all getting together and going to see the show. But it's a really, really fun experience.
And we want to remind our audience that it is currently showing at the Royal Theatre at 608 College Street in Toronto. It's running from November 20th straight through to January the 4th.
Yep.
And so you both are in New York, just left Toronto. Will we have the opportunity to see you sometime soon again in Toronto?
I sure hope so. You know, as we were talking before, we love every time we've been in Toronto. We filmed, we were both in the Hairspray movie, so we filmed that in Toronto. We were there for about 6 months, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. We also toured with the Legally Blonde, the musical, through Toronto, which was awesome. So then also getting to come back and do Hallmark has been just so much fun. We're big fans. I just, you know, if I could make a living just working on holiday musicals, I'd be the happiest person in the world, truly. I just love the holidays. So it's always fun to be working on something that is so festive. I also, working with the amazing cast of Hallmarkish was fantastic. You know, they're all new to me, but they are now the original cast of this show, which is so very exciting. And yeah, I'm just, I love getting the opportunity to collaborate with Tim, our director, and Joel and Bonnie. We really have such a great team-minded, collaborative, you know, effort going whenever we're creating something. And so it's a real joy to be in rooms together and create new things together. And then you get to the theater and you see it on stage and you're like, wow, I can't believe we built that in this short amount of time. It's a real labor of love. And of course, I left Toronto with a whole bunch of coffee crisps in my bag and ketchup chips and all my favorite things that I love. I drank all the Tim Hortons I could, all the second cup I could, just loved it.
Oh, that's wonderful. And you, Tiffany?
Well, besides all the chips that I got as well. Yeah, I think, you know, building something from scratch, and these Canadian actors are so incredible, not only in the roles that they're playing, but they're wonderful collaborative teammates. You know, we follow along with their Instagram takeovers, behind the scenes of the show. And it's just, it makes us so happy that they're having a great time. And also they're so talented, and that these Toronto audiences are seeing these absolute superstars sing, dance, act, tell jokes, run a mile a minute, change costumes, become someone else, come on out, do this. Not only, and they're covering each other too, so that the show always is well covered. It's just, it's inspiring. And it makes me so excited thinking about that every night, that Toronto audiences are seeing these absolute superstars shine.
Well, we want to invite our audience, please do visit hallmarkish.com. That is where you can learn about not only the musical, but also you can access tickets via that site. We're going to take a break and be right back with more of Brooke and Tiffany right after this. Brooke and Tiffany, you both have made my day.
Right back at you.
It has been so lovely sitting down in conversation with you both. And as we move always forward, forward always, as we come to the end of yet another year, what rests on your hearts, both of you, as you enter into 2026?
I am just hoping for continued creative spaces to be a part of and to help create for others so that the fun can continue. I hope that we all continue to inspire one another, make our art. Your voice needs to be heard. So I always try to tell, you know, artists coming up that any spark of creation you have, it's your duty to put it out in the ether. We need it. Someone needs to hear it. They are probably needing the exact same thing you are. So I just really want to keep being creative. I hope for kindness and peace, of course, that we can, you know, go back to our, remember, we're all just human beings having a human experience. And kind of come together in 2026 and beyond would be lovely.
Beautiful. Thank you. And you, Tiffany?
I think, you know, looking forward to 2026, the thing that is always inspiring, at least to me, is the idea of connection, connecting with other people, being able to look people in the eye, being in collaborative creative spaces, like Brooke mentioned before. That yes, it's about creative play and fun and joy and following where that energy and inspiration flows. But the real like touchstone for me is about connection, that like whenever we gather, that we are connecting, especially whenever we move, whenever we dance, like cosmically on a cellular level, we are connecting. And there's so much disconnect in the world. And it's very hard to feel tethered to any sort of real connection when things in the world feel out of control, that like honing in on that person to person connection and a shared experience like theater or music or going to a museum, that those real moments of connection are what makes life worth everything.
What a powerful way to close. In the spirit of connection, I want to thank you both for your time, your energy, your creative play, your joy, and your love that you've brought into the space today. It has been such a pleasure to be in conversation with you. Thank you for joining me on the show.
Right back at you. Thanks for having us. Yes, what a thrill.
This has been so lovely. Thank you.
Truly a pleasure indeed. I look forward to seeing you both again soon. Happy holidays to you both.
Happy holidays.
Stay with us. More of Turnout Radio coming up after this. Thank you. today, you've been listening to the sounds of Cannonball Adderley with Autumn Leaves and John Coltrane with Blue Train. Welcome back to Turnout Radio. That was Brooke and Tiffany Engen here on the show with me. What a joy to have them both in the house all the way from New York City. It was such a pleasure to be in conversation with them. And folks, if you missed the top of the interview, we invite you to visit turnoutradio.com, CIUT.FM, and some of your favorite podcast platforms where this episode will soon be streaming. The unauthorized Hallmarkish parody musical is a world premiere which invites audiences to laugh, sing, and celebrate the season together. It is running November 20th straight through to January 4th, right here in Toronto, at the Royal Theatre at 608 College Street. Well, this brings us to a close of the show. Thank you for tuning in to share time and rhythm with us. Season's greetings, love, and light to you all. Please join us again next week for more of Turnout Radio right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton. I hope your week finds you turning out to dance. Thank you.
yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year all our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. Next year all our troubles will be miles away. Once again as in olden days, happy golden days of yore. Faithful friends who were dear to us will be near to us once more. Someday soon we all will be together, if the fates allow. Until then, we'll have to muddle through somehow. So have yourself a merry little Christmas now. Yourself a man.